for you this day, and I thank you for whatever it is you're about to do, what I say, that your word goes forth. Make sure you push me out of the way as I hide behind the cross. Let your words and your words only come out of my mouth, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll be honest, I have notes. We'll see if I stick to them. Because as I have been kind of going over this, it's changed and changed and rearranged. And then there'd be things thrown in. So we'll see. But get this. I gotta at least get to the starting point. There we go. Okay. Well, it was asked of me. Originally, this was... I'm not that loud. I might get loud. We'll see what happens. I was asked to speak in a series, tagging along with the prayer that we've been going over the last, I don't know, a couple months, I guess. And basically spiritual warfare. And let's just say it has not been easy to get together, because the minute I start trying to gather the topic and what I feel God wants spoken, wow, it's been interesting. It's been very interesting. But so basically what I feel, to give y'all a better understanding of how it all works, is let's think of the physical. You've got our physical military. Okay, our military has different rankings, and I'm not going to go in start naming the different levels, because then I'm sure Faylin back there will start giving me the stank eye, because I don't know my branch differences, and I surely don't know the order of the ranking. We just know there is a bottom rank, and it goes all the way up to the top guy, okay? And generally, each higher up is the one that gets blamed for something if something don't go right. But at the same time, it's those higher ups that come up with the plan when they're having to deal with the enemy. They're the ones that come into meetings and they say, okay, this is the enemy that we're dealing with. This is the plan of attack, and this is the best way to come on the defense and become offense. Okay? And that way they can take territory, they can do whatever they need to do depending on the situation. Well, then they take those orders and they go back to their ranks and they start dispersing of, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're going to do. This is the enemy that we're dealing with, and this is how we're going to accomplish that. Okay? Now, when you look at the church, again, a physical, you have an order, and there is a godly order. It goes from God to the pastors or bishops, depending on whether you're under a conference or something. And then it goes to the associate pastor, leadership, into the body. So there's still an order. Okay, so what flows from the head flows down. Well, don't you think there's the same type of order in the demonic realm? And I'm here to tell you, for those watching at home, for those who couldn't make it today, and even if you don't know yourself in the house, there are demons. They are very real. And they have ranks as well. So you have to understand what you're dealing with when you're being attacked. You have to understand if it actually is attacked or if it's a consequence of a choice you've made. Because not everything that is happening in your life is because of the devil. It's not. So if something goes wrong, don't automatically say, well, you know what? The devil tried to stop me from... You know what? Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Amen. Did you make a choice that led you to that point? Or are you literally under attack? And if you are under attack, identify it. What rank is it? What level is it? Is it something that I have the authority to handle? Or is it something I need a little extra help, reinforcements from? Or is it something that I literally need to go to God with? Okay, so with that, we're going to go into Ephesians, and I know everybody's familiar with this, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing. Good. All right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now that passage has so much meat in it, and you can go 5,000 different directions with it. But what I want to focus on is, first of all, that's your armor.
Yep. That's right.
When you go into spiritual battle, put that on. And know that God's got your back. Because if you pay attention, everything in that covers the front.
Yep. That's right.
Okay? He's got your back. Or as the military would call it, your six. Okay? But what I want to focus on today is verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's this. Yeah, some type of people are mean. But let your spirit check as to whether there's a spirit you're dealing with. Because you're not always fighting the person, so don't react. Don't react. Let your spirit speak, and if you identify a spirit, handle it differently. Because when your flesh rises up, you're automatically wrong. Okay. Principalities, that's one. That's the highest level, aside from Satan. It just says powers. That's another level. Rulers of darkness of this age. That's another level. Spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. That goes back to the ranking. There's a reason he identifies when he wrote this. There's commas after each one. He wants you to know there's more than just one thing you're dealing with. It's not just Satan. He's got an army. We're dealing with all his little minions, all his annoying little runts. Some of the ones are a little bigger and powerful. And then you start getting, you know what, I'm already off my notes. That's all right. We'll go with it.
That's all right.
One of the reasons we know there are principalities, this is a description. This is Daniel. If you go to Daniel, and I didn't mark it in my book, where'd it go? See, I told you I'm off my notes. I think it's Daniel 10. Either way, where I think it's 10 through 13, I believe is what it was. Basically, Daniel had been praying and fasting because he was seeking God for an answer on something.
Right.
Okay. And it straight up said that, I think it ended up being 21-day fast. That's where the 21-day Daniel fast came from. Because he was seeking God. But then all of a sudden, the angel showed up. And I know it's in these notes somewhere. Angel showed up and said, look, God heard you. But I was over here battling the prince of Persia. Okay, this is a messenger angel. You already know the angels deal with the spirit realm. If he's dealing with the prince of Persia, that's a principality. He was waiting on reinforcements to come in the battle that he was fighting on God's behalf so that he could come and deliver the message that was given for Daniel the day he prayed. So you need to understand when you ask something, he hears you, but if there's a delay in response, you don't know where the message is coming from. That's where we have to understand what our place is. So when you start dealing with a principality, Those are the ones that you have to ask God for his angels to take care of it, because that's not your place. Even in Jude 9, this is an example so you'll understand this. Jude verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel is contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Michael knew his place. He was dealing directly with Satan. That's God's job. So he didn't say, "I rebuke you." It's not his place. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." So when you get into the spiritual realm and you start dealing with demons in your house, in your family, and yes, even the church deals with them. Even people in ministry are oppressed. They have things. Nobody wants to talk about it. That's probably one of the reasons I got battled trying to get up here. The body of Christ deals with things and nobody wants to talk about.
Right.
Anger. Anxiety.
Yeah.
Fear.
Yeah.
Control.
Yep.
Manipulation.
Come on.
What you don't realize is control and manipulation are little nymphs for the bigger one, which is witchcraft. Rebellion falls under that same spirit. Fear is a big one because the enemy wants you not to be able to do exactly what I'm doing and calling his butt out. He don't want you to know what he's doing over here with your family. Oh, that's nothing. Did you know that when somebody gets up, and this happens in churches too, we're accountable for our house. We're accountable for the church. If somebody comes up and all you hear out of their mouth is, me, guess what? That is a spirit and its name is self-importance. It falls under the category of pride. Just like haughtiness. That is pride. It's one of the little guys in disguise. You have to address all of them. Anxiety, that's one that the Lord really stuck with me to the point I wrote a definition. Anxious. Definition one, this is by Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or brooding. Fear about some contingency. Now, contingency means an event that may, but is not certain to occur. Definition two, resulting from or causing anxiety, worrying. Three, earnestly wishing. Oh, I can't wait for tomorrow. Calm down. Okay. But the one that most people deal with when you're dealing with a spirit of anxiety is worrying about what could happen, worrying about what's about to happen, worrying about the outcome, worrying about what people are going to think. Let me tell you what the scripture says.
Oh, that's a
biggie. Okay. Now, this is something some people, I didn't even know until I come across it one day. Proverbs 12. Verse 25. Anxiety. Now, those with English, anxious and anxiety are in the same word group. It's just another variation of it. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So when you're dealing with a spirit of anxiety, guess what? If you continue to contend with it, it's going to turn into depression. So if you're subject to being a depressed person, then you need to start coming against the spirit of anxiety. That's how that works. Philippians 4:6. if I can get back to it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God.
Amen.
So, the definition. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. Don't matter what the outcome is. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Nothing. The enemy is deceptive, very sneaky. He comes in through what's called gates. Those gates are openings. They are openings in the spiritual realm, and there are openings in the physical as well. Those gates, we even open. You have to be aware of this. Now, the Bible actually calls them doors. John 10, 1 and 3, 1 through 3. If I can get my thumbs to work. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door gate, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's Jesus and the scriptural, the side that everybody is familiar with. It's what we teach. But what you also need to know is there is a negative side of that. And that's the demonic realm. Everything God does, there's a counterfeit version.
Yeah.
So your gates are your ears, your eyes, your mouth.
Yeah.
Everything that you let in. If you open up the door to something, like a movie or a radio station that's talking about some things, but you're listening to the beat and not the words, those words are still getting in. The violence in the movie is still getting in. And the funny thing about this particular, when I was writing my notes and I started writing down gates before I started digging through scriptures, there was actually a person, an adult in my house at that very moment that I was writing down notes talking about gates, getting ready to start explaining the spiritual. This person turns on Ghostbusters on my TV and I went, oh, that is very much so gates. And I had to stop writing and instantly started praying, trying to figure out, how do I handle this? And then homeboy walks in, and he just, before he even stopped, the blood of Jesus, next thing you know, TV's off. You shut the door. You don't let it in. And then if anything slipped in, you cast it out.
Amen.
That's how you do that.
Amen.
You take the scriptures and you speak them over your house. You identify the spirit and you tell it to leave in Jesus' name. Because everything in the demonic realm knows Jesus' name. That's why you need to know who you are. Because there's also a scripture in the New Testament, and I don't know where it's at, because this just kind of popped in my head, where he says, well, I know this disciple, and I know who Jesus is, but I'm sorry, who are you? Now, that was a spirit talking to this dude. Just because you're saying in Jesus' name doesn't mean it's going to move. Yes, there is power in the name, but you have to understand that power to be able to activate that authority that comes through it. If not, that demon's going to look at you and laugh.
Yeah.
And I tell you, also, listen to younger people. Listen to the children. Listen to the teenagers. Don't brush aside what they say. And I'm going to give you an example. Coral was 3. She's my daughter, for those that don't know. She was 3 years old at the time. We were living in this house. It was a rental. And she said something, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. And then it hit me. It hit my spirit. Wait a minute. What did you just say? She said, that plaque, well, she didn't say plaque. She just said that thing above the door. There's a door, and there's things coming through it. I went, excuse me? She said, yeah, all right. So I got the oil, and I went over there, and I anointed it, and I prayed over it for God to close that door. I looked over at her, and I said, okay, what do you think? Do you still see it? No, it's shut. And she walked away and started playing with her toys.
Wow. Come on.
Don't disregard children.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't disregard what you think is your imagination.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Because out the corner of your eyes, 9 times out of 10 where you're going to see them,
yeah,
there's movement. And you're like, oh, well, there's nothing over there. No, don't brush it off. God, what was that? Did something get in my house that needs to go away? Pray over yourself. Pray over your house.
Amen.
Sometimes, and now this is a tough one, okay? If you have never physically gotten before the Lord, put your hands on yourself and cast a specific out, something, whatever, you better make sure it's not still there. Because just because you're living for the Lord and you haven't necessarily operated full-time in that spirit in a while doesn't mean it's gone. Because you haven't told it to leave. So if you used to deal with lust, but you never asked God to cast that spirit out of you, you might want to consider it. If you had anger issues in the past and you never asked God to cast out that rage demon, you might want to consider it. Because anytime somebody comes up and says, you know, I've been struggling with something lately, it's because that demon that you didn't let evict, you didn't evict it, is trying to come back. And it's testing the waters to see if it can get you to bite.
Man.
If you dealt with alcoholism and all of a sudden you had a rough day and you broke, that spirit wasn't gone. You have to be willing to get before the throne and ask God. He even tells you in... See, I told you I'm all kinds of off my notes. Where'd it go? I gotta find it because I want you to know this. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Use his word and speak over yourself. That's exactly what that is. If you're not sure that you've completely let go of something from your past, or there's even a chance there's still a spirit that used to operate in you, search me, O God. If there is anything that is not of you that is still hiding somewhere inside my body, I cast it out in the name of Jesus.
All right.
And if it still tries to hide in a corner, God, what's its name? Because you have to identify it. Some of those spirits are so arrogant that they're like, you're not talking to me. I'm just going to sit over here and I'm going to play with this and I'm going to wait for you to not look at me anymore. And then I'm going to try to get your attention again. But you have to go, okay, you're going to be like that? What's your name? All right, now get out. And then it has to leave. It has to leave. That's the same thing when it comes to healing. Pray the scriptures over yourself. Go through the word. It is important. That's why he's been going over prayer. You have to understand the link between prayer, praise, worship, intercession, and warfare.
Amen.
You can separate them all day long because, yes, they have specific tasks. But in the Old Testament, the worshipers went before the warriors because they were changing the atmosphere.
Amen.
So I'm praising my way into His presence so that I can go, okay, God, what's there that needs to go? What's inside my house that needs to go? Oh, there's something in the closet? Get out. Because they try to hide in your house. And they'll come in when you're sleeping because that's when you're not attentive. You're not paying attention. You're in your own little world because you're asleep. And what happens? They will come up and shove you. I've had it happen. When John and I were dating, we were cleaning out my grandmother's house. He was in one room. I was in another. I felt him get pushed because we pissed off a few little nymphs because they couldn't do what they normally did in that house. Because we were there. That same house, I'm pretty sure it was the next day, I was cleaning out the bathroom. And there was one inside the shower. It was only this big. But it was staring at me through the glass, growling, because it knew it couldn't do anything. So you got to understand, they're real. Not everybody sees them like I do. But that doesn't mean you can't feel them. Doesn't mean you can't sense it.
Right.
Doesn't mean Holy Spirit doesn't start triggering your spirit man going, something's not right. Something's not right. Figure it out, get it out, and then let God's peace come in.
Oh, yeah.
Let His peace come in. As you ask God to remove something from yourself, if you get to that point where you're saying, nope, get out of my body, get out of my house, go to the fruits of the Spirit. Put something back in.
Yeah.
You're removing anxiety. Thank you, God, for your peace.
Come on.
Amen, amen.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
You got an ailment, joints hurting, something's not right, blood pressure's high, go over the Scriptures.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I brought this, and I have extra for people if you want one. It's by Charles Capps. God's creative power for healing. This is an example. It's one of the reasons I brought it, because I want people to understand how easy it is to take God's word and turn it into a prayer over your life.
Come on. Yeah.
So this is your starting point.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
My blood pressure is 120 over 80. The life of God flows in my blood and cleanses my arteries of all matter that does not pertain to life. Mark 11:23. It gives you the reference so you can go to the Word and read the Scripture that goes with it. So you can say, see, right here. Oh, it's so hard to get up in the morning. Okay. Oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. Remind him. My God says, this is going to work. I can get up.
Yeah, come on.
My joints are good. Arthritis, in the name of Jesus, go. And that one, I can say personally, has been trying to take hold of me recently. And when my spirit went off, it was, oh, that makes sense. Okay. I immediately, spirit of arthritis, in the name of Jesus, you cannot take root in my body. You cannot stay in my house. You must leave right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, the stiffness in my fingers went like that. It's the Word that unlocks your defenses, your healing. Ephesians, let's go back to Ephesians. I had it. My bookmark fell out of that pen. Okay. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
So So you want to learn how to fight? Learn your scriptures. Pray. Worship. Get into his presence. Speak the scriptures. Even Jesus in the garden facing Satan was talking scriptures. Satan knows the scriptures just as well as anybody. If, in some cases, better. Depends on how much you read it. Because he threw it in Jesus' face just as quick as Jesus was responding. But I can also tell you, because those spirits hear, you don't have to yell at them. You don't have to yell at them all. If you're sitting there and you're dealing with one that manifests right in front of you and you're just having a conversation and all of a sudden you see this angry thing and you didn't do nothing, in your head, ooh, Jesus' name, I don't think so. You don't have to yell at it. You don't even have to let the fleshly vessel that's in front of you know that you identified it. Half time, they don't even know. Oh, Jesus. We're at a point where the body of Christ needs to get back to war. We need to get back to understanding our position, our place, the authority that's been given to us, the weapons that we've been given. And we need to know if it's something that's not ours to fight. Elijah was standing there and he wasn't worried. There was a bunch of soldiers. They were getting ready into battle in the physical. And his servant comes back and says, what are we supposed to do? I don't understand. We're outnumbered. There are more of us than there are of them. And he's looking at, you could just see it. You could just see his servant looking at him stupefied. What you mean? Can't you count? I'm looking at what's out there, and no, there's more of them. And you can just see Elijah going, Lord, please open his eyes to see. And the minute he finished that prayer, the army of the Lord that was on the horizon came into his sight, and he went, oh, okay, I got you. Okay, we good. We good. And that's the understanding that we have of when we talk to the Lord and it's something that is outside of our authority. We do have the authority to ask, God, can you help me with this? God, can you send your warring angels to handle this for me? God, I need you to back me up on this because I know my place. But I also know who you are. And he will send that army to fight for you. To fight on your behalf.
Yes, will.
So that you will not become weary. Yes, we're going to feel weary. We're going to go through. But you got to be willing to stand up.
Yeah.
And say, nope, my God says. My word says.
Come on.
Nope, I'm not having that today. Body, you need to come back into alignment. All right, what spirit is that? What spirit is trying to take hold of my body so that I know what to come against? God, help me. Another good way, and this hits me because I know there's a lot of people in here, including myself, that deal with family. And I got this passage, and it hit me so hard. I've read it 1,000 times, but I got it in this fashion from a good friend of mine. It's Colossians 1:9-18. Now this is one of those that you read as if you're praying for yourself. You're praying for your child. You're praying for a lost family member. Put their name in it. And I'm going to tell you from personal experience, the minute you do, you will feel his presence come in because you're doing exactly what I'm talking about. You're taking his scripture and you're praying it into existence. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for, name the person, and to ask that you will be, they, the person, may be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. That the person, whoever it is, even if it's yourself, may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glory, for all patience and long-suffering and joy, giving thanks to the Father, if I could talk, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. You could put their name right there too. He has delivered the person's name from the power of darkness and conveyed that person unto the kingdom of the Son of the Love, in whom have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. That's what we're talking about today. The visible and the invisible. Spiritual realm is invisible. Just like the wind. You see the effects of the wind, but you don't see the wind. Spirit realm works the same way. You see the effects of it. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That's talking about God. You put yourself in that scripture, you put a family member in that scripture, and watch what he does. Watch what he does. Because it's also paying attention to who he is versus who you are and the places. Because it went so far as thrones or dominions or principalities. He created all of it. That's why he is God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's in charge of it all. There's one more that I really want you to get. Okay. If you have anything and you're having a hard time dealing with it yourself, he says, drop your pride and go to a brother or a sister that you trust and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. I need you to pray with me to come against this in my life and in my family's life. You start having trouble in finances, but you're still tithing. I know in Malachi it says part of the blessing that comes with the tithe is he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. But if you are tithing and you're still struggling and things still seem to be just dissolving and going away, then you start rebuking the devourer on your own. Say, God, I know your word says, and I know you're going to back me in this. And I'm going to stand up and identify, I'm paying my tithe, I'm feeding my family, but nothing seems to last. I get this fixed and it breaks. I get this fixed and it doesn't happen. This money's got to go over here. Thank God you're providing for it. I praise you. But I don't understand why I can't seem to get ahead. I'm going to church, I'm praying, I'm reading the word, I'm doing the tithe. Oh, so there's a devourer in my mix. Okay. God, I come before you and I rebuke the devourer over my household. I rebuke the devourer over my finances. I rebuke the devourer over my pantry because that food needs to last. Just like you did for the widower with the oil. It needs to last. It needs to stretch. I rebuke the devourer over this church. Over our vehicles. That's the type of thing you have to stand and you do. Because Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
All right.
Your heart needs to line up with your mouth.
Come on.
Needs to line up with your actions. You need to go back to Deuteronomy where he says, I will have this in the forefront of my mind, in my mouth, and in my heart at all times.
Come on.
Because that is how you fight. That is how you fight. You fight on your knees.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
You fight in the corners.
Yeah. Amen.
Because what happens in the quiet places gets brought to light. So if you're over here warring for a family member or you're warring for yourself, he's going to do it and the world's going to see it because he's going to get the glory,
Amen.
Not you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in the forefront and you're saying this, 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 and this in front of everybody, he's going to be like, it ain't about you. Sit your butt down. Let me do what I'm going to do.
Come on.
I'll honor your request.
Yeah.
But if you don't shut up and give me the glory, I'm going to deal with you in a minute.
Amen.
Know your place.
Amen.
Know who you are.
Yeah.
Know the authority that's been given.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to fight.
No.
Because perfect love casts out all fear.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Don't you think casts was put there for a reason?
Come on.
Because when his love comes in, it dominates. And you give him the authority.
All right.
Those are the gates you need to be opening. Because whatever you open the gate to is what you have given authority to over your life. So if you're opening the gate to fear, you just gave it rein. If you're opening the gates and giving authority to the love and the peace,
Man.
What's reigning in your life?
All right. Amen.
Pay attention to what you're opening the doors to. If you're dealing with depression or have, or you're susceptible to it, start praying against anxiety. It's a spirit. So if there's anybody dealing with anything today that they want to bring before the Lord and they want to say, hey, I want help. I'm new at this. I've been struggling with. I got a family member, whatever. Come to the front. Ask somebody for prayer. Ask the leadership. We always happily pray for you. And most of the time we're praying for you when you don't even know it. But don't be afraid to fight for yourself. Capture those thoughts. Watch your mouth. Because life and death is in the tongue.
Amen.
So if you're saying, oh, it's inherited. My family has diabetes. Okay. You just accepted it. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Come on.
My God says healthy, provided for, loved, peace, authority, grace, healing, wholeness. Shalom. Shalom means complete peace. Absolute complete peace.
Amen.
So I speak that to you. And I speak courage to you. Courage is in there too.
Amen.
He even says, be courageous. So if you don't feel like something's right in your house and you're not quite sure how to pray to get it out, I'm almost positive pretty positive that you could talk to pastor and he would help you make sure it gets evicted. But if you know how to do it for yourself, I recommend a spiritual house cleaning just like you do a physical house cleaning every couple months. Walk through.
Okay.
Anoint everything. That's what we do. You start at the right because of the Father. It goes to the right. End at the left. Get them out the door. The main door that you use in your house is your starting and your ending point. You anoint everything. You open everything. You pray over everything. That's why God gives us a praying tongue. Because just like He, God, hears our conversation, the enemy does too. We were given a prayer language to confuse him. So that he's going, I'm spying and I'm trying to see what they're doing, but I don't get it. So you pray through your house and you pray and anoint everything. I'm talking faucets, outlets, light switches. Because in a house, spirits can slide in through those things. Seal the gates. Get them out. Once you get through the entire house, you say a prayer at the door and you open it. And I promise you, you will feel them huddled at the door, practically begging you to open it so they can leave. And they'll go. And there will be a difference in the house. We did one of our usuals not too long ago, and our kids noticed a difference. You got to teach them. You got to teach them. You have to learn how to do it yourself, and you have to teach your kids. Because one day, they're going to be on their own, and they need to learn how to fight. They could be in school, even if my youngest, almost 12, he's going to need to know what to do if something happens. He needs to know how to pray for himself, to fight. Yeah, we're supposed to fight on their behalf. We're supposed to cover them. But we also have to teach them to be able to go, no, I'm not accepting that. Just like Bailey. I'm not accepting that. She's been standing there looking at everybody. I ain't accepting that. People trying to be encouraging. Sometimes. Don't take this wrong. That's why I say watch your mouth. Because sometimes you're trying to be encouraging, but you don't realize it, and half of your encouragement comes out being a little skeptical. Or a little negative. Which those seeds, unintentional now, can turn into, if you're not dealing with the right person, can very easily turn into, well, this person's, I look up to them and I see their faith walk. And if they're saying that, then am I wrong? Am I not going to get, do I need to be concerned about this? Don't plant that seed. Don't plant that seed. Stand on what God says. If He gives you a word, treat it like a threshing floor. Separate the wheat from the tare. Keep the word. That's the wheat. Get rid of the trash. Stand there and defend what God said.
Amen.
If He told you you're going to be somebody specific, all right. That's my word. Let's go. You can throw everything in the book at me. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God said something about me, I ain't giving it back. Because His word will not come back void. It's up to you to stand on it. It's up to you to fight for it. It's up to you to defend your house. It's up to you to get rid of the demons that are moving and operating in your life. It is up to you to be who God created you to be. And nothing less.
That's good.
And if you have sat long enough on something God has called you and told you you were supposed to be doing, then I tell you, you need to start speaking resurrection over your life. Because there's a chance it's either already in the grave or it's on the verge. And if you truly in your heart want to be who God created you to be, then go over to that casket and say, in the name of Jesus, stand and rise. Be who I am supposed to be. Resurrection power. Jesus' name. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I open up this altar for anybody that needs prayer today. And I just ask you, have your way. I pray that you take this word that was given and let it sink in and be chewed on. Chewed on. And God, I hope your word has come forth in a way that it'll empower your people. God, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are interested in one of these little pamphlets that I brought to kind of help you learn how to pray the scripture, they're up here on the bench. You're welcome to take. If we run out before you get one, if you're interested, let me know and I'll make sure you get one. It might take me a little bit to get it, but I'll get you one.
Amen.